Welcome to the Optum Mayo Clinic conference call. Please note that today's call is being recorded and will be available for replay after the live call. At this time, all participants have been placed in a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. If you would like to ask a question at that time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We ask that you please pick up your handset to allow optimal sound quality. Lastly, if you should require operator assistance, please press star 0. Hosting today's call is Brian Kane, Vice President of Corporate Communications from Optum. Mr. Kane, you may begin.
Thank you, Lindy, and thanks to all of you for joining us for today's discussion about the launch of Optum Labs. If you have not already received today's news release about the launch, you can find it in our online newsroom at Optum.com. It's my pleasure today to welcome you and introduce today's participants from Mayo Clinic and Optum. From Mayo Clinic, we are joined by Dr. John Noseworthy, President and CEO, Dr. Veronique Roget, Director of Mayo Clinic Center for the Science of Healthcare Delivery, and Mark Hayward, also from Mayo's Center for the Science of Healthcare Delivery. And from Optum, we are joined by Andy Slavitt, Group Executive Vice President. As Lindy mentioned, we'll have time for questions following some brief introductory remarks from Mr. Slavitt and Dr. Noseworthy. And with that, I'd like to introduce you to Andy Slavitt, Group Executive Vice President of Optum.
Thanks, Brian, and thank you. Good morning, and thank you all for joining us. Let me share with you some background on what we're announcing today. Some context for you first. Optum Labs really started as an idea to do something different that we hadn't seen done before in healthcare, which is to create a research and innovation center for the healthcare industry that can be used by the industry and very quickly benefit patients while at the same time contributing to the ongoing improvement of the healthcare system for years to come. So simply put, Optum Labs is an open innovation facility where people from across the healthcare industry can come together to conduct research, innovate, and improve health outcomes for people. We started it by bringing together Optum's own information assets, our technologies, our knowledge tools, and scientists into a state-of-the-art facility we designed in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You might think of the old historic Bell Labs or Xerox Park in other industries as a model. Here's why we're excited about Optum Labs. It is an industry-wide participation where doctors, academic researchers, life sciences firms, policymakers, and others can work together on research and innovation. Its focus is on practical, more translational research and innovation to improve healthcare. We're excited really by the terrific assets that are coming together from across the industry. We envision being leaked now so that scientists can gain maximum value for patients and industry participants. We're beginning Optum Labs with a contribution of over 100 million patient lives that spans nearly 20 years. Our partner, who will introduce him to you in a second, Mayo Clinic, is contributing greater than 5 million clinical records. That is over 15 years. And we're also excited that Optum Labs can become a trusted source for research and discovery via the open environment with high-quality partners like Mayo and others. So let me tell you a little bit about why we have decided to enter into this with Mayo Clinic. Now, everyone knows Mayo for being at the forefront of practicing and advancing high-quality medicine. But what also made Mayo an attractive partner for Optum Labs was that Mayo is really all about, at its core, finding and doing what's best for the individual patient. That's something that we greatly admire. They have done that for nearly 150 years, and we respect that level of dedication and focus. Mayo has also done this in a way with a real focus on data and learning. From our earliest discussions, we really had a meeting of the minds with the leadership team of Mayo Clinic, and we found that we share not only a common vision for Optum Labs, but also I think we both realize that as industry participants who touch different parts of healthcare, we could do something bigger together than either organization can do on its own, and we are both committed to expanding that roster far beyond the two of us. May also brings expertise in working with clinical data, which complements Optum's expertise in working with more longitudinal administrative data. Naturally, given what Mayo does every day, they also bring a living lab, if you will, via their practice at the patient bedside to the research scientists that will be participating in the labs. And finally, we respect Mayo's long-standing commitment to scientific research, knowing full well that those discoveries make a difference in the lives of patients and their families. And this is the beginning. We know there are many organizations that share in and can add to these philosophies and can become a part of Optum Labs, and we expect that they'll be a big part of our future. Let me turn now to John to take it from here.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A few comments. As you know, healthcare in America is facing the greatest challenge in its history, fragmentation of care, costs that continue to rise, a continued slow economy, a growing population of seniors, and variable quality are all huge barriers that impact patient care every day. We believe that patients should expect more out of U.S. healthcare, both higher quality, but also affordability, and that's how we define value in healthcare. This strategic research alliance allows us for the first time to truly examine best outcomes for patients at lower costs. Let me explain a bit more. Optum Labs will combine the power of Mayo's first-class research capabilities and clinical information with Optum's existing claims information to accelerate the essential shift in healthcare from a volume or procedure-oriented system to one that is driven by value, focusing on both efficiency and quality. This includes, as we've said, examining claims information to understand the true cost of healthcare, particularly the cost of care over time, over the length of the illness, examining clinical information to understand the best clinical outcomes for patients, and then together developing and enhancing the analytical tools and expertise needed to truly understand the cost of care and the quality of care over time. Again, healthcare value. This work combining clinical and claims data is the largest effort of this type in the country. By combining Mayo's robust clinical information with Optum's extensive claims information into the Optum Labs as a strategic alliance, we'll be able to better understand healthcare delivery over time, compare the effectiveness of care, and analyze the total cost of care for specific procedures or diseases. And this will help us all provide better care to our patients and help all Americans by defining value through patient outcomes instead of volume. Mayo Clinic is pleased to be entering this bold research alliance with Optum Labs because of their extensive database, analytical experience, and especially their experience in researching the value of healthcare delivery. And this is important. Optum and Mayo can't do this alone. We'll be interested in asking other healthcare organizations that have a demonstrated passion for excellence in patient care, a proven track record of healthcare research, and a shared vision for the potential to create a better future for healthcare based in evidence to join this effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Noseworthy, and thank you, Mr. Slavitt. At this point, I'll turn it back over to Lindy for instructions on question and answer.
The floor is now open for questions. At this time, if you have a question or comment, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, we do ask that while you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimal sound quality. Thank you. Our first question will come from Joseph Kahn, Modern Healthcare. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you and good morning. What is the business structure of this lab? Is it a corporation? Is it a for-profit or not-for-profit? And what is the ownership interest that Mayo and Optum have jointly in this new organization?
Well, why don't I? This is Andy. Thanks for the question, Joseph. Why don't I provide you with an answer and then pass it over to John? So Optum Labs is a research business unit of Optum. It is being operated as a research arm. The intention of the business unit is not to operate it for profit, but really to operate it to advance research and to invite others in the industry, in addition to Mayo and ourselves, to take advantage of the assets in the facilities and to conduct research and innovation there.
But it is incorporated as a for-profit corporation?
It's a business unit of Optum, which is a for-profit company.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
John Noseworthy, I'll just answer Joseph from Mayo Clinic's perspective. This is a strategic research alliance. It's not a partnership. There's no ownership from Mayo Clinic. This is a collaboration around research.
Thank you. Operator, next question.
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Jeff Kiger with Post Bulletin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
I wanted to ask a little bit about the specifics on the facility. It sounds like there is physically a facility already set up there in Cambridge, and how many employees may be working there, and if it's already operational.
Well, why don't I start again, and if John had anything to add, you can do that. Yes, we have a facility that's been developed. It's in Cambridge. It's adjacent to the MIT campus. It opened within the last several months. We're beginning to staff it with research scientists. I think our anticipation is before the end of the year we'll have something in the order of 60 employees.
And this is Mark Hayward from Mayo Clinic. We have worked with Optum to set up the Optum Labs Oversight Committee, which is starting to meet to guide the research agenda for the labs. Mayo Clinic will integrate our efforts into our Center for Science of Healthcare Delivery that Dr. Roger and myself lead at Mayo Clinic, and we will have a number of research scientists and clinicians on site regularly at Optum Labs, as well as federal staff there permanently.
And I might add, when we talk about inviting others, as we evaluate and as others join in this effort, we expect that many of them will also choose to have staff working either on a kind of continuous basis or on a project basis.
Great. Next question.
And we'll take our next question from Arundhati Pumar with MedCity Media. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking the question. Is there any thought process as to if there's any IP creation out of this research initiative and alliance? Is there any way to commercialize that IP, or have you thought about that at all?
Well, this is Andy Slavitt again. The purpose of the partnership is really to pursue research and innovation, and particularly research that can be translated into things that benefit patient lives. We certainly could conceive of research being done that creates new IP. The way we look at it is that it will happen on a project-by-project basis. It will happen between parties. Could be Mayo. It could be Optum, it could be other parties, and that each of those models then will be evaluated on a project by project basis.
This is John Noseworthy at Mayo. If I could just perhaps help some of the reporters understand, that this really should help us make major directional changes into how healthcare is provided to patients. That is to say, diseases that are high cost and common and have a major impact on suffering in the country as well as the economy of the country. And it might be helpful to have an example given by Dr. Roget, the director of the center, to give you some sense of really the power of this alliance. Dr. Roget, could you do that for us?
Sure, of course. Good morning. You know, one example that comes to mind to illustrate the power of the data obtained from the Research Strategic Alliance between Optum Labs and Mayo Clinic is heart failure comes as an example that illustrates this issue for several reasons. One, because heart failure is a disease that's frequent. It's come under the national spotlight, if you will, because of its frequency and because of its clinical course, which is characterized by a recurrent number of hospitalizations due to worsening of the disease, which in turn leads to a high burden of healthcare resource utilization that impacts both the patient, of course, but also the cost of care. And by and right now we are at a little bit at a loss to predict what causes hospital admissions in heart failure. We have a sense of what some of the triggers are, but a lot of these triggers are really not actionable. For example, we know that increasing age is a factor that's associated with greater hospital admission, but it's hardly something that can be acted upon. So by having a data source that links claims data to clinical data, what we get is really the ability to go from a snapshot in the history of care of a disease like heart failure to a complete panorama, because we then are able to piece together, if you will, the care in the clinical facility, such as here it would be, for example, Mayo Clinic, to what happens after the patient gets dismissed from that care facility and goes back to his or her own care environment, where the only way to get data is coming from claims data. So by putting the two pieces, clinical and claims, together, if you will, we get this complete picture of longitudinal care, which enables us to have much more powerful modeling of the events in those cohorts. So, for example, in heart failure, much more powerful modeling of the predictors of hospital admission. And also, this will also lead us to understand of the triggers that we can identify, which ones we can intervene upon. And the goal, obviously, will be to share that knowledge with the medical community via research publications and other dissemination means.
Great. Thank you. Lindy, next question, please.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone at this time. Our next question comes from Brianna Long with EBC 6 News. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I guess I believe it was Mark who spoke about the committee coming together and they'll be setting a research agenda. And I guess I'm just wondering, have there kind of been brainstorming sessions? What types of things will be on that agenda? And I guess what are kind of the first things you guys are looking at?
Hi, this is Mark again. Great question. So we have we have a list of projects already. Optum came obviously with a list of things that they're working on and areas they'd like to explore further. Mayo has a list like that. We've brought those lists together. We're really using the data to guide us to say which of these seem to be the biggest opportunity to improve care for patients and the value of care for patients. So the data is actually driving us and will drive us to understand which of these we should focus on first. It may be areas of looking at variation in care and variability in care and outcomes and value. It may be studying, again, comparative effectiveness of different treatment options that are available, or as Dr. Roget mentioned, it may be studying chronic disease and the progression of chronic disease and how we can intervene to change the course of that chronic disease care.
Great, thank you. Lindy, are there any more questions?
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Joseph Kahn with Modern Healthcare. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
I have a question regarding the consent by the patients for involvement in this sort of research. I presume you're not getting it. It's of a scale. You're not getting IRBs on these projects, but maybe you are. How are you handling the idea of consent? A number of states that require that for the information exchange. I know the HIPAA rules don't require consent for treatment, payment, and other health care operations. By which authority are you allowing the combination of this patient records?
So, Dr. Roget, do you want to begin, and I can follow up?
Sure, absolutely. I think that the first and foremost, I mean, the number one consideration in discussing this point is that the data, the patient clinical data, are completely de-identified before they get linked to the Optum data. So we will be using a really cutting-edge, state-of-the-art de-identification methodology that completely protects the patient confidentiality from any possible breach.
That's right. This is Andy Slavitt. And I would just echo Dr. Roget's comments. First of all, the privacy and security considerations are first and foremost. We're after achieving patient benefits, and we believe that can be done with anonymized data by looking at what people refer to as big data, lots and lots of activity, lots and lots of patterns, not so much by examining what's happened to a specific individual. We think that's one of the things that's lacking. And then I think the thing that I want to underscore is that the data is de-identified prior to even arriving at Optum Labs, so that the scientists are really doing their level of research in that large data sphere, not in looking at individual patients.
Will will this data that will be moving include any genomic sequencing information?
So, day one, I think the data that we've referred to so far, we haven't referred to any genomic data. We certainly think genomic data, to the extent that it meets with the research mission and the overall mission of improving patient care and efficiency, can be a part of where we go with Optum Labs, but that's not where we've started.
Right, Andy, this is Mark Hayward. I would echo what you said. Initially, the data shared will not include genomic data, but in the future, that's definitely an option and one that we will pursue and consider.
Thank you for your question. Lindy, is there another one in the queue?
We do have more questions. Next, we'll go to Jeff Kiger with Post Bulletin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
My interest at this point is, is there actually a funding stream or financial stream? I mean, will there be other customers coming in and paying for services for these kind of research? Or as a part of United Health, it looks like this would be something that you guys would want at least some sort of income on.
Well, thanks for the question, Jeff. This is Andy Slavitt. Let me tell you how we're thinking about this. And I think Dr. Noseworthy and the Mayo team can comment as well. I think both organizations over a number of years have invested very heavily and very significantly in research and data and in building these assets and in building state-of-the-art tools. I think what we both realize is that we can't ever take full advantage of these resources on our own and by ourselves. So we both do a significant amount of research and fund a significant amount of research within our organizations today. But we limit our scientists, as does everybody in the healthcare industry, to setting only those data elements that they have access to. And furthermore, we can only ask questions of the data that our scientists are capable of asking. So what we're really talking about here, and I think a helpful way to think about this, is that now more scientists will be able to ask questions of broader data sets. We think that that in and of itself is an accretive activity as opposed to an idea that will require significantly more investment. We believe for very similar amounts of investment, we will, and others who will join us, will be able to get far more bang for the buck.
So, but will anyone be paying for that? are these questions that are going to be asked, are they ones that are could be a project for a customer?
Sure. So, the way we look at it, and again, I'll invite the Mayo team to respond as well, is that research needs will be looked at on a project-by-project basis. And some of them will require funding from some interested party. Some of them will be funded by the researcher. Some of them may be funded by outside sources. But we really, the way you should think about this is, I think the way that many of the old historic models like Bell Labs worked, where Optum Labs becomes a place where people can come and do research, and that research that can be done in a variety of approaches and with a variety of financial arrangements.
Andy, from, you know, this is Mark Hayward from Mayo Clinic. As we, you know, Mayo Clinic's invested you know, large amounts of resources in a very large research infrastructure that's supported Mayo and improving care for our patients over the years. The implementation of the new Center for the Science of Healthcare Delivery is an embodiment of that. We've invested a lot of resources and are growing the center. And as we bring in new scientists and new resources into that center, the Optum Labs will provide an opportunity for these, you know, for the folks working in our center to be more efficient, to accelerate the pace of their work by having access to this, to the labs and to the capabilities the lab provides to us. So from our standpoint, we'll be bringing, again, resources we've invested in and we'll continue to invest in as we move forward. I think as we bring on new partners into Optum Labs, the agreements with those new partners will vary based on the nature of the engagement with the new partner, the resources the partners are able to contribute to Optum Labs, research such as their data assets, their analytical tools, the scientific expertise they bring to the table, and the types of questions they're looking to answer and participate in.
Jeff, this is John Noseworthy, if I may. I just, again, don't want to lose sight of the scale and scope and the potential of this relationship. I mean, we're kind of down into a little bit some of the details of how it'll work. But for the first time, this really allows us to answer the really big questions in healthcare. What works best for patients with complex, costly illnesses that's really plaguing our healthcare system and making it unsustainable currently? And by bringing these two groups together and this vast array of claims data and a growing array of clinical data, it allows well-intended, scientifically focused organizations to contribute to the work, to answer the questions that will really impact the healthcare of all Americans, all of us. And that's just not been possible because these well-intended groups that are trying to do research, trying to understand what works best, have never had this enormity of data and analytic capability to answer these important questions. So this is really quite a remarkable step forward, and that's why Mayo Clinic sees this as the next step in our very long investment in trying to understand what works in healthcare. This is a big deal.
And I grasp that it's a big deal, and the scope of it is that I think you guys have shared that pretty well. I was just trying to see how it was going to be sustainable,
sure.
How you can do this by actually keeping it funded.
Thanks, Jeff. Yep.
Great. Thank you very much for the question. Next question, please.
And we'll take our next question from Melanie Evans with Modern Healthcare. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I just want to make sure that I understand. There are health systems that have entered into contracts both with Medicare and in some cases with commercial payers to sort of gain access to some of that that claims data that the providers previously didn't have. And this is for under arrangements like accountable care organizations. And they're using that data in an extremely they're trying to use that data to sort of alter the course, you know, to sort of identify patients in some cases that may be high risk for rehospitalization, but in other cases to sort of better identify, like, you know, as you said, sort of like the care that's being provided even, you know, outside of a physician's office or a hospital, across sort of like all of the, they're trying to identify all of the care that's being provided, with the idea that they might be able to sort of like alter the course of treatment and it sounds like a more immediate fashion. So I just want to be clear, you're not talking about sort of using this in the context, you're talking about sort of research projects that could identify sort of more population-based trends or that could then later be applied. You're not talking about using this sort of this data on an immediate patient population. Is that correct?
Thank you, Melanie. This is John Noseworthy. I'll ask Dr. Roget to comment on that, but that's a good question.
Sure, and the answer is no, we are not, the plan is not to use the data to influence individual patient care as we conceptualize the research question and address them. Now, with that being said, if we do find within a given disease, by looking at these large-scale data sets, that there is a pattern of care that is associated with better outcome, higher value, lower cost, more effective care, then our goal is clearly to disseminate that information quickly enough that we can impact the care of a lot of other patients in a relatively expeditious way. In other words, the concern that is typically raised about research in general and clinical research in particular is the time that it takes for a discovery of any kind to reach the bedside of the patient. And part of the power of this Strategic Research Alliance and its scale is to be able to have enough numbers so that we can ask relevant questions, look at it, as you said, at the population level, meaning in large groups, but then once we find an answer, to disseminate it quickly.
Melanie, this is Andy Slavitt from Optum. Let me just add to what's already been said. We view all initiatives that organizations, provider organizations, government payers, to share data to be positive steps. I think the thing that I would also point out is that while those are going on, there nothing is yet happening at an umbrella level that brings the scale, the benchmarks, the access to researchers to provide enough context for what somebody might do in looking at how to help them with a very small population in one local community. So part of our intention here is to create the ability that would allow anybody who is looking at these types of questions in a serious way to have access to a innovation center where these things can be studied at a much more significant scale with we think the kind of resources that it's going to require to get real value out of a lot of these data initiatives.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Before we move to our next question, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, press the star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll move next to Arundhati Parmar with MedCity Media. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks for taking another question. The discussion around the financials has been a little fuzzy for me, at least. I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things and make sure that I'm understanding you accurately. One of the things that was mentioned in the press release is you gave certain examples of what Optum Labs is doing or could be doing, and one example was develop applications to determine the relative cost effectiveness of medical devices. Now, that kind of information would be gold to a company like Medtronic or St. Jude Medical. You're not giving away that information. I mean, they have to provide some kind of funding to be able to access that or even use that because, you know, that kind of information will help them determine what kind of products to build. Or even what to focus on.
Thanks for asking for clarification. Let me see if this helps. Neither one of us are setting up Optum Labs to make a profit. We're setting up Optum Labs to be a facility that can be used by the industry that can help advance patient care, science, and certainly as it relates to that, their own businesses and operations. There will be financial arrangements and relationships, undoubtedly, a variety of types of financial relationships with organizations that we choose to partner with and that choose to partner with us that would like to use Optum Labs. So I think hopefully that clears it up for you, but you're not incorrect in your understanding.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Andy.
Thanks very much. Lindy, are there any other questions?
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys now. And it looks like we do have a question from Joseph Kong with Modern Healthcare. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
I have a follow-up question on genomic information. Have you determined a way that you can de-identify genomic information and make it clinically relevant to somebody doing analysis on it?
So, Veronique, do you have any
I think, the issue of genetics and genomics information is an interesting one because, first and foremost, we have to remind ourselves of what the framework of the Strategic Research Alliance is. And it's a link between clinical data coming from healthcare providers and relevant to day-to-day care and claims data. And while the future of genetics and genomics research is an immense promise, for a lot of, if not most of the day-to-day clinical care, it remains a promise. So to the extent that genetics data will surface and be used in a clinical environment, then the vision, yes, would be that it would be linked to claims data. Now, then your question becomes, well, how can you de-identify genetics data? And that's true if you think about the entire genome, but the clinical reality of genetic testing being applied in clinical care is going to be revolving around a specific genetic marker, not necessarily the entire genome. And so in that context, the genetic polymorphism that would be relevant to one clinical question would be a piece of clinical data, to some extent, much like serum cholesterol is a part of clinical data in a given patient. So we're not at all talking today about sending entire whole genome sequencing along with clinical data, because whole genome sequencing is not used in clinical care today.
Great. Thank you very much for the question. That's all we have time for today, folks. Once again, the press release, if you don't already have it, is available in the newsroom at Optum.com, and there are also contact points for both Mayo Clinic and Optum available on that press release. We'd like to thank you for your time and your interest in Optum Labs today.